Welcome to The Compass, a podcast ministry of Calvary Baptist Church of Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm Dan Carson, pastor of Family Ministries here at Calvary. We're thrilled that you've chosen to find us online. Now, as you listen today, you may have questions about the Word or about our ministry here in Fayetteville. Let me encourage you to send those questions to info@calvaryfayetteville.com, and we'll get back with you as quickly as we can. Now, in today's podcast, I have the opportunity to share a message entitled Impacting Our World for Christ from John chapter 4. I hope that you'll listen today as we talk about what it takes to make a difference in our world. The example that we find when we look at the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman.
Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 4. That's where our text for this morning will be. We'll be looking at a few other passages, but we want to start with a bit of a review. I know when you saw this, you thought, I thought we were done with the solas. We've spent all these weeks on this, and I want to take a moment or two just to talk through that real quickly, because this has been important. Not so much because we're learning about the Reformation, but because, as David mentioned last week, these are the five alones of Scripture. They point us to our salvation, and they help us to understand it in a more deeper way. The five solas, they're sola gratia, which is that we are saved by the grace of God alone. There's sola fide, we are saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Solus Christus is Jesus Christ alone is our Lord, our Savior, our King. Sola Scriptura, the Bible alone, is our highest authority. And soli Deo Gloria, we live for the glory of God alone. For these last several weeks, myself as well as our shepherd leaders have been taking us through the solas to help us better understand salvation and what that is and what that means. Because we need to understand that God is the great provider in all of this. He is the one who loves us, the one that cares about us. He has given us grace. He has given us faith. He has given us His Son. He has given us Scripture. And all of this is done so that we glorify God, that we lift up His name, that His name is glorified to the nations. That's our purpose in life, is to declare the glory of God. It's important. But what we need to understand is that while you may not know many Latin words, and perhaps you've learned what sola means over this process, that means alone. We say it more like this. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. That's what the solas are about. It's about this great gift of salvation that we have all been given. If this is what we've been given, this is the greatest gift that God has given to any of us and all of us, what do we do about it? What do we do about this great gift that we've been given? Well, we should be living for Jesus. If we look in 1 John, we can see several places that if we say we love God, then we're going to obey His commandments. We are going to follow Him. And if I asked any of my youth groups in the past, and I don't know if my youth group now has heard it enough times, if I asked them, what's life about? What are we supposed to do as Christians? What is our purpose? They could easily repeat, we're supposed to love God, love people, and make disciples. That is how we're supposed to live out this life as believers. We're to love God, we're to love people, and we're to make disciples. That is what God has called us all to. If you look out in our foyer, I believe it's still there on the wall, it talks about our mission as a church, how we're to love God and we're to love people and we're to make disciples. That is the purpose. That is what we are supposed to be about all the time. Well, this morning I want us to focus in on those last two things, about loving people and making disciples. You see, we're about to hit a time of the year where it is difficult for some folks. Some of you love Christmas, and you've already been celebrating since the beginning of November. If you're a Filipino, you have been celebrating since September 1. Our friends Wade and Joanne Allen and their family every year would start posting pictures of how it's September 1, it's time to celebrate Christmas, and they have carried that tradition back here to the U.S., and so we still think they're kind of crazy for doing it, but that was what they did, and their whole culture there when they lived in the Philippines and worked with them, that was it. For us, for me personally, I've got to get past at least Halloween before. Some people have to wait till after Thanksgiving. I don't know how that falls in your house and what that looks like, but Christmas season can be a wonderful time. It can be this time of family and of friends and of celebrations. I look forward to times with my life group here. I look forward to listening to music, maybe seeing a light or two. But there's a lot of us that the Christmas season, the holiday season, going back even before that into Thanksgiving, is difficult. And why is it difficult? Well, there's an immediate reminder of people that are gone, that are not a part of our life. There are people that have either died or we're separated from them or there's a disconnect from them, and there is that constant reminder because you turn on the TV, you watch a show, and this family, they're getting together for Christmas and they're celebrating, and guess what? Your dad isn't there anymore, or your wife isn't there anymore, or even a child. It is hard because of those things. Then there's also those people that are reminded about all the things that they don't have and the ways that they may have let people down in the past. And we see all of these commercials, well, buy your child this, get them, they want this for Christmas. I used to love the Sears Wish Book. I don't know if you grew up looking at the Sears Wish Book, but as a child, oh, it was awesome because you would get that and circle it. Oh, here, Mom, Dad, get this all these things for me. And I know my mom's sitting there with it going, there were too many circles, just everything. There were circled, everything was circled. But as a parent, as an adult, we hit this period and we realize we haven't been as successful as we want to. We haven't been able to provide in some of the ways that we want to, and we're reminded of those things, and we're constantly hit with whether it is those type of feelings, the feelings of loss, the feelings of difficulty as we hit this season. There are people all around us that love Christmas and love the holidays, but there are people that are hurting. And this is a perfect opportunity for us to love on them and help them to see Jesus. That's why I want to say we're going to talk about loving people and making disciples. Ultimately, God wants us to impact our world for Christ. We're going to be looking at John chapter 4 because this is a great passage. It's a rather lengthy story, but we want to read this in its entirety as we talk about this idea of impacting our world for Jesus and how we do that. Because there are all sorts of opportunities. Even here at the church, if you look out in our foyer, you may have seen it in our worship guide. If you haven't, I encourage you to read through your worship guide. And on the Faith at Home Center, we have a tree from Potter's House. See, every year, they provide us a tree. We buy gifts. They're able to help provide Christmas for families that otherwise couldn't do that. The life group, David Cook's life group, who has been kind of managing and making sure that our blessing box is taking off, they've put something in there as well, talking about let's pound. That's an old term. Let's pound the blessing box. When we got married, they gave us a pounding, and so that means they brought us a bunch of canned goods and things that could go in our cabinet, and so we want to do that for the holidays, and there's a list of things, and so again, these are ways that you can reach out and love, and there are other ways that you can do that. There are college students. We're involved with our Association of Baptist Students here. We provide meals for them any of the weeks leading up to it. Man, it's a way for you to express love, to show them that love, and there are plenty of other opportunities. But often we lose sight of that. We get pulled into our own world and all the things that we have to take care of. I know it was just last year, but while my kids were in high school, it felt like every night of the week was tied up with a concert because my daughter was in band and choir and this and that, and it just gets hard and it's fast and everything's going on. But guess what? We are called to impact our world for Jesus Christ. And this is a time to do it because there are hurting people all around us. And it can be a very small thing, but that can make a huge difference in their life. The passage that we're looking at, it's not a small thing that this woman encounters. It is Jesus Christ, and we're excited about that. Before we read our text, though, I want us to look at, first of all, our mandate for impacting our world. God has given us very specific encouragement and exhortation, instruction that we are supposed to make a difference in the world that we have been given. In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, we find a passage of Scripture that you are familiar with and that I've actually even started our service, not our service with, but this message talking about this idea of loving God and loving people. And we can go back to verse 34 there. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.'" Again, loving God. The second part of it is where this mandate of impacting our world for Jesus Christ comes in. "And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." God has given us instruction. He's given us encouragement, exhortation. He has told us that we are to impact our world in a positive way with the love that God has expressed to us. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we have a passage of Scripture again that talks about making disciples, but it's more than just making a disciple. It's about impacting the world for Jesus Christ. Verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Again, a mandate, a word of command, a commission, as it's called, the Great Commission. God wants us to be involved in this process of reaching the nation. So as we go, we're to be reaching out and making disciples for Him. And then in Acts 1:8, we find another short verse where Jesus is saying to His disciples, "Hey, it's time for you to be out, and here is how it's going to work." There it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." As we look at these passages, it's very clear. God wants us to love on those around us, and God wants us to make disciples. That's the mandate for impacting the world. And you could go and we could find other passages of Scripture that point us to the same concept, but God calls us to that process. It's a hard one. It's a difficult one. This morning, as many of us do, I was on social media and I got sucked into a video that I saw pop up and I thought, "Oh, what is this?" And there was a car driving in front of an ambulance. And the car was slowing down. Instead of getting out of the way, he was slowing down so this ambulance couldn't get around him. If those are the type of people that are out there, it just makes you mad and you don't want to love them. You just want to say, "Get out of the way. Follow the rules. Do what you're commanded to do, what you're told to do." But God wants us to love that same person that was in that car in front of an ambulance who wouldn't get out of the way. He wants you to love on the people that you run into in the stores that are chewing out a sales associate. He wants you to love on the hard people to love. He wants us to love on all of those around us. If we look in 1 John, what we talked about was we have a clear mandate. These one another's that Pastor Kirk was talking with us about for several weeks. We're to love the people here in this congregation that are part of our faith family. There's no doubt about it. If we say that we don't love them, then we have to question, are we saved? Have we accepted Jesus as our Savior? But God calls us to something bigger. He calls us to love on our neighborhood, to love on the people that live around this church, that live in our neighborhoods, that live in our families, that are at work, that are at home, that are at our schools. And it's hard and it's difficult, but God tells us to love on them and then to make disciples. We have a mandate for impacting our world. There's also a message for impacting our world. If you'll turn over to John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, it's a passage of Scripture again that you're familiar with. You probably memorized at some point if you've been in church for any length of time. There the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Our message is clear, and we need to understand it. We need to know it. We need to be able to communicate it. If we're going to impact our world, we can't just go out and be nice to everyone, although that's the nice thing to do, and it shows love. Those are great, but we act. We give a cup of water in Jesus' name. We love on someone in Jesus' name. We need to show the world how Jesus would have responded. God calls us to that. He gives us a mandate, and He gives us a message to proclaim. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The other passage of Scripture is actually several. You may have memorized because I've encouraged you to look at it. And as I've said before, almost every time I get up here, I'm going to try to share this. I want us to know the gospel well enough that we could share it with someone. The Roman road starts in either Romans 3:10 or 3:23, most of the time 3:23, but I really like to start in 3:10. Because Romans 3:10, it says, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one." We go on to verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That means every single one of us need Jesus. We need our lives to be changed because we are lost without Him. In Romans 5:8, the Bible says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God sent a solution. He sent Jesus Christ so that we could have a relationship with Him. Going on over in Romans 6:23, that next part of that Roman road, there the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are all sinners, we're all in need of a Savior, and if we don't do something about it, the result is death. But God gives us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then the last part of the Roman road is found in Romans 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. There the Bible says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." In verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." God has given us a message, and we need to know that message. If you don't know that message, find a list of the Roman road. Come to me. I will give you this. All you have to do is take your Bible, or if you carry a little Gideon's New Testament, all you have to do is to mark the first passage. You have one number to memorize. Romans 3:10. Then you mark the next. And then you go to the next passage, and the next passage, and the next passage. And someone can clearly hear the gospel message that Jesus loves us, He cares about us, He died as that gift so that we could have eternal life. That is our message. It is important for us just to simply express love, for us to go out and show someone but that they are valuable in God's eyes. But we must realize that it comes with a message. It comes with this phrase of Jesus, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus." So, let's go back to our text. John chapter 4. Our text for this morning is the story of Jesus and the woman of Samaria. I want us to talk about our method for impacting our world. for us to understand that there are six things that we can find from this passage that we can take and go, okay, I can do those things, and then I can be involved in impacting my world, and I'm not just stuck in this simple mode of, all right, I'm going to come sit, I'm going to soak, and I'm going to go home and rinse and repeat. I am going to impact my world. It is difficult, it is hard, because it takes us outside of our comfort zone, but God wants us to impact our world, and especially now, at this time of the year, at this point in history, God needs his people to stand up and to make a difference in those lives around us. So let's begin in verse 1. There it says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. And so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? And he gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to an eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here to draw water. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither of this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out to the town, and they were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So the Samaritans came to him. They asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I know it's a rather lengthy passage, but it tells the story very vividly of the impact of Jesus on this woman's life. You see, we need and we see from this our method for impacting our world. It is important that we understand that God is calling us to do more than just to come and to learn. He's calling us to come, to learn, and then to go. We can't just come to Sunday school or even Faithful Men or Faithful Women or Forever Young or our worship service or our life groups and be content that we've done everything that God has called us to do. God is calling us to impact our world, to be involved in that process, and it begins by getting out of our comfort zone. If we look back at verses 1 through 6, we see that Jesus was in a part of the world that was not normally where Jews would find themselves. And he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that was Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It's about the sixth hour. Jesus had gone to a place that was not comfortable. Now, this, of course, is Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. He is all of those things. But he did these things as an example for us. What I want to ask you is, are you stuck in your comfort zone right now? Now, I'll be honest. I like my comfort zone. Even here, I'll come to the office, I'll study, I'll plan, I'll prepare, I'll do those things that I'm supposed to do. I may make a visit here or there, but then I will go home. And especially now that it gets dark early, you may be like that. You may like to just hole up at your house. You're done. I get to the house, now put on the pajamas and wait for bedtime. I don't know what your story is like, but that we find that and we can just repeat that. And repeat that until here we are again for Sunday, and then we haven't done any of the things that God has encouraged us to do, that he's exhorted us to do. We have simply in that little comfort zone. So perhaps that's part of it. You are stuck in this rut. Perhaps you are very comfortable around those that are here at the church and think, those are my faith family. I love these people. They are the ones that I want to spend all my time with. And I love spending time with my faith family. I am loving us meeting on Mondays and Thursday nights in our Taekwondo class. It is a lot of fun, and many of that are in that group are a part of this church. It is a lot of fun to do that, and I'm having a ball with people that are in our church. But guess what? That becomes very comfortable very quickly. God wants us to think outside of that comfort. He wants us to be in places that are difficult, that are hard, places that are like the Samarias. He wants us to be thinking about, how can I reach people with the gospel of Christ? How can I impact their world? I know that there are many that live in our neighborhood here, and sometimes some of those places may seem uncomfortable to you. But guess what? God has put us here for a purpose. Our address at this place and this time for Calvary Baptist Church is no mistake. He has put us in this place to reach and to love on the people of this neighborhood and this community and of this town. Let me tell you, just very, very straight up. I grew up in Springdale. I was a Springdale High School Bulldog. I never thought I would be in any way connected with Fayetteville. Okay, I'm sorry if I hurt some feelings right there, but I never thought I would. And here I am serving in a church in Fayetteville. And I probably should wear purple every once in a while because Caitlin's on the volleyball team. You know, it's just, that's hard for me. But guess what? I'm going to do it. I think that we should embrace our community where we're at. The people of our community, the people in the town that we're at. One of the funniest things is when I was at Temple and Rogers, Heritage High School had just opened up. And I thought, new high school. I'll go get one of the shirts. I got kids that are about to go up into there, so I'm wearing this bright orange Heritage High t-shirt. And the funniest thing was, it was church members that were giving me such a hard time about it. Because, well, that's not Rogers High. That's not what you need to support. And I'm like, really? We got kids that are going to be headed up there. We need to love on our community, even when it's uncomfortable. And those are, you know, kind of humorous ideas and humorous thoughts about it, but there are times when we feel very uncomfortable talking to people. We grew up certain ways in certain places. As I mentioned, I grew up in Springdale. It was a very white community. It just was. But the kingdom of heaven looks a whole lot different than that. There are people of all races, colors, creeds. I dream of our church looking like that, of representing not just our neighborhood, but the whole kingdom of heaven. God wants us to be in an uncomfortable place. He wants us to reach out to those. We've got to break out of our comfort zone so that we can impact our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and see great things happen. The second is this: we must learn their story. Jesus is talking with this Samaritan woman, and you look at this. Now, the thing we've got to understand is that Jesus Christ, he knows people's hearts, he knows people's minds, he knows all of these things. We don't have that luxury. I can't look at any of you and read your mind, although you may be going, please, I'm hungry, let's hurry up. That might be going on in a mind or two out there, but I don't have that luxury to read your mind like Jesus could read this woman's mind, but we've got to learn their stories. Several years ago now, in 2015, I went through coach training. I'm a trained coach, and coaching is this process where we help people get from point A to point B in their life, and it is one of the things that I love about it. Is I learn people's stories, to learn about where they're at and what's going on in their lives and what can help them get from where they are to where they want to be. You see, if we want to impact people's world, if we want to impact our world for Jesus Christ, we must learn the stories. Verse 7 of our passage here, it says, a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away to get food. And the Samaritan woman said, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? And it goes on down to verse 16 through 18, and we come to find out that Jesus is asking some questions he already knows the answer to. This says, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. And goes on with the rest of the statement there. But the issue is that he is taking time to learn their story, to learn what makes them tick, what motivates them, what is that thing and that way that we can express love to them. How can we help them? It's important that we get out of our comfort zone, that we take time. I think back to our Fall Fun Fest, and it kills me that I wasn't here with you guys for that event. But what I loved in those moments of the years past when I was able to be there was to be able to just talk with people and see where they were at and what was going on in their lives and get to know them so that we can express love to them properly. We've got to know them, to know their stories. So we get out of our comfort zone. We learn their stories. And third, we must listen to and to answer their questions. Now, when we're talking to someone about Jesus Christ, they may immediately come to the story with something, or the conversation with something stuck in their mind that they can't get past. My grandmother's second husband was a character. Well, that'll be the best description of Charlie. Yeah, he was a character. And I remember one time I was the mission pastor at Haven Baptist Church, and I was preaching, and so he would start talking during the service and chime in. It was a little difficult at times. But one of the things that he struggled with was this idea that if God is really God, if he is who he says he is, and he is all powerful and he's good, then why couldn't he make just all the abortion clinics just disappear? That's hard to understand. I mean, it is a point of justice, and we think, well, why are there still abortion clinics in this world? And so we had to talk through some of those things, and I never was able to give him a good answer, but we must listen to the questions that they bring into the situation. If we look here, this woman starts asking questions about worship. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place of where people ought to worship. Now, is she trying to divert the question from this hard stuff that she's dealing with? Yes. But we've got to listen to those questions as they come to us. So that means that we must study more. That means that we must look into God's Word and have an answer. Not just make up an answer, but have an answer from God's Word. They're difficult questions. Sometimes they're very hard, but we must be able to answer. So if we want to impact our world, we've got to get out of our comfort zone as a church. Calvary Church, we must get out of our comfort zone. We must learn the story of those that we want to be involved with. We must listen to them and answer their questions. And we must confront their wrong ideas. Now, I don't like confrontation. Just one of the things about me. But Jesus never kind of shied away from those moments. We know that Jesus went into the temple and turned over tables because he was angry. He was upset with a righteous anger. But in verse 20 here, he approaches these issues that she was dealing with. Verse 20 says, our fathers worshipped on, she's still talking, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say then Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. It goes on there and just talks about worship, and he confronts the wrong ideas that they have. He doesn't let them just sit on the side and just say, okay, it doesn't matter. He says, this is the reality. And that's where it gets difficult in our world. Because in our world, if we express what is biblical truth, there are many around us that are going to, I don't want to say have hurt feelings, but that's what it boils down to. They can't communicate, they can't discuss, we can't have a conversation about things that are different. And what I love is, in a congregation, when you have the ability to discuss things, even here, we think slightly different about all sorts of things. And when we get to heaven and the kingdom of heaven, we've got to realize that there are going to be all sorts of different thoughts and ideas about things. Not every single person who has Jesus as their Lord and Savior thinks just the same. There's going to be different political ideas. There are going to be different emotional ideas about different ideas about family. Hopefully, we're all thinking the same thing about Scripture and about the truths there. But guess what? There are going to be people that think, well, we should speak in tongues. There are people that we should not speak in tongues. The one thing that we know is true and that we must agree upon is that Jesus, and Jesus alone, is our path to salvation. And so we must confront wrong ideas. When I say that, I'm referring to those things that fall outside line of Scripture. Our fifth thing is that we must give a clear picture and offer of salvation. Now, we've already talked about what that message of impacting our world is about, but it's important for us to understand that. As he looks, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. In verses 25 and 26, he follows that up by saying, the woman said to him, I know that this Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. It's one thing for us to show love, be outside of our comfort zone, to be talking to people that we're uncomfortable talking about, working through all these different things, even confronting wrong ideas that they have about Scripture and about God. But if we don't give them a clear message, if we don't share with them the message of Jesus Christ, we missed out. We have missed out. Because they can't make a change if they don't know the life changer, and we've got to share with them Jesus Christ. So what do we do after that, though? If we want to continue to impact the world, we must realize that this, if they've accepted Jesus Christ, if they have taken those steps, if they have believed this message, they've seen the love, they've accepted the love, they've accepted Christ, what do we do? We must give them clear next steps. Too often I hear about people accepting Christ, and then they're just kind of forgotten about. Too many times that's happened at church camp. And I love our church camp, but that happens. We invite somebody to come with us. I've seen churches bring kids and they're invited, they make a decision for Christ, and then there's no follow-up. We need to give clear descriptions, clear next steps for those that are following Jesus. We can kind of see what he was doing here in verses 34 through 38. As he's talking with his disciples around the same time, he's saying that my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So how do we know what those steps are? We must know God's word. We must study it. We must memorize it. We must make it a part of our life. So as we look at this method for impacting our world, we must get out of our comfort zone. We must learn the story of those that we're wanting to work with. We must listen to and answer their honest and heartfelt questions. We must confront the wrong ideas. We must give a clear picture and offer of salvation. And we must give them next steps. We can't just leave them out without those things. So if that is our method, and that's what we find in John chapter 4, what do we do next? That's always where I land. If I can hear God's word, I know what I'm supposed to do, then what do I do next about it? I must make modifications in my own life for impact in our world. First of all, we need to have a heart of humility. Except for the grace of God, there go I. Now, I challenge you to find that in Scripture, because it's not. John Bradford, it's a take on a quote that he made. And as I looked it up, I thought, well, surely that's Scripture. I've heard that all my life. Nope. But what it does is it points to this very simple truth, that we must have a heart of humility, realizing that everyone that's in our sphere that doesn't know Jesus Christ, we could be in that same spot, in that same place, except for the sovereign, loving hand of God. So we approach it with a heart of humility. We ask for forgiveness if we have been prideful. We ask for forgiveness if we have been prejudiced. We ask for help because we know that we can't do this on our own. There's a whole lost world around us. Men and women who live next to this church, that live next to your house, that you work with, that you go to school with, we must humble ourselves before God and say, I can't do it. I need you. The second is this. We need to have a heart of compassion. It's very easy for us to think, well, they're not working hard, so they don't deserve this. They're not doing their best, so I'm not going to help them at all. We need to set those things aside and to love on the people around us. One of the greatest things, I don't know if it's the greatest things that I ever did as a dad, but one of the things that I'm happy that we did as parents is that we sent our children to public school. In Springdale, it is a ethnically diverse school system. That's probably the best way to describe it. My kids don't see color. They don't. And what they see, it is fantastic for them to know that they just love on people. They meet people and they love them. That's the heart that we need to have. If we hope to impact our world for Jesus Christ, if we hope to help people around us, if we hope to express love to people, or especially during this season of the year, we have to have a heart of compassion to love on them. And then we need to have a heart of purpose. We need to go from this place with a very clear idea of what I need to do in life. I need to love God, make Him first and foremost in all my life. I need to love people no matter where they come from. I need to love them. No matter where they're at in life, I need to love them. That means, are they an ex-con? I need to love them. Are they a Muslim? I need to love them. Are they homosexual? I need to love them. And the list goes on of people that we naturally are going to go, oh, I don't need to love them. But guess what? God doesn't draw those lines. He says that there were neither Greek nor Jew or any of these other things, in Christ, we have hope. And we need to go forward loving those around us, impacting our world, because He has called us to that. Now, as we head into this holiday season, there are a lot of things that are on your plate. You may have a Christmas to-do list. Got to get this food for this party. I've got to buy a gift for this activity. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. We cannot forget what God has called us to do, because it needs to be at the top of every list you make. Loving Him, loving others, and making disciples. So during these moments, take that opportunity when people are already opened up and say, I need something. They feel that pain. They feel that loss. They don't know what to do next. Take advantage of those opportunities. You're going to have at least one this Christmas season. We have a candlelight service on Christmas Eve. That's been a part of our tradition here. We have on December 8th, we have a Calvary family holiday meal after our morning worship service. Those are opportunities for you to invite people to say, hey, come be a part of our church family. We want to love on you. We have our life groups. Our life groups are those home groups. And I know some of your home groups are having Christmas parties, Christmas activities. I've been to some of them before, and they're a lot of fun. You know, last year we played a bunch of silly games, and that's what I want to just encourage you, is to get connected in those places and invite people to come in, because people are hurting, people are feeling down, feeling people don't have all the things that they had hoped that they would have. Give them what they need the most. Give them Jesus and give them love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for all that you do, and I thank you so much that you've given us Jesus Christ and an opportunity to share him with the world. I know that I fail so often in this area. I look to other things. I do other things, and I don't make you the priority, and I just ask for your help. Give me open eyes. Give us all open eyes, so that we're just watching and waiting for those opportunities this season. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our heart's desire is that you grow and understand the direction God has for you and for your life. We hope that by listening today, you're one step closer to discovering that for yourself. Now, if you live in Northwest Arkansas and are looking for a church to call your own, we invite you to join us at Calvary as we study and serve together. We meet for worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at 1410 North Porter Road of Fayetteville. If you wish to find out more information about Calvary Church or simply contact us, you can do that through our Facebook page or at calvaryfayetteville.com. Until next time, remember that God, His Word, and His people can provide direction for life.